Praise the Lord. Let's read the scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, about Abel. It was by faith. Faith comes by hearing. When he heard, he obeyed. Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain, his brother. More acceptable. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was righteous. Well, righteous man. That means what he did was right in the sight of God. And God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. So Abel's offering was great in number, extensive in quality. He offered as what the Lord wanted. And actually, he offered the sacrifice of animal and was a type of Jesus and was Jesus' type of sacrifice. So actually, his offering was extensive and in quantity, great in number. They recovered tithes and offering. So, but his offering actually was prophetic about Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. So Abel's offering was prophetic. That's the reason the Lord stated he wanted an animal sacrifice. The purpose of your offering is for the work of the ministry that pertains to the Lord's next coming. Amen. So it's not just meet the needs of the church, but actually it's for the church to fulfill the ministry of the Lord. Just now, you know, I was praying that, you know, maybe I just need to say something about last year's church camp. After last year's church camp, it was a turning point, and then 2 weeks from now, he's going to get married. It all happened from last year's church camp. So actually, every church camp, it was a turning point for some people in their lives, right? Praise God. So this year's church camp is also going to be like this. Amen. Praise the Lord. After next Sunday, the students are coming. And the last week of March, the school year, we have Reverend Kevin Castro and Reverend Eric Angler to come and teach. And it's in English. Those who want to attend, you can attend. It's free. And you have friends that you want to attend the Chinese class, you can always recommend them to attend the Chinese class. So the next one is in July and November. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the school is one of the ministries that the Lord has entrusted to us. And we don't collect tuition fees from the students. People are spending money to come on their own. Amen. Anyway, it's God's ministry. God will pay for it. Amen. No money, just shut it down. Right? Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we praise you and thank you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. Bring our tithes that belongs to you. We bring our offerings as seeds that we sow in obedience to thy word, and the word never returns void. We thank you, Father. As we bring our tithes, thank you, Lord. We have access to your windows of heaven. As we bring our offerings as seed that we sow, it shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In the year gone by, we've seen the people who sowed and they are beginning to reap. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to talk to you about know the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've been talking about three essentials for spiritual growth or building up spiritually. One is constant renewal of your spirit and soul by feeding on God's word to renew your spirit and soul and praying much in the spirit, praying in unknown tongues. Secondly, we talked about it last week, walk in the spirit. There are two ways to walk in the spirit. Walk in the fruit of the spirit. Secondly, walking by faith, trusting in the Father's unfailing love. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit is something you do. Walking by faith, trusting in the Father's unfailing love. He will never fail to protect, provide, and guide, and lead, and heal. Right? There's nothing you can do but what He will do for you. You trust His unfailing love. That means you trust that He will not fail. He will not fail to do what is necessary. He will do for you. And this morning, as I was praying, you know, I went back to focusing on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, come before the throne of grace. When you come before the throne of grace, the throne is a throne of no conditions. Unconditional, no condition, unearned, you just come. There's no condition attached. And receive mercy and find grace to help. In other words, you will find grace to help unconditionally. He will help you. The only problem is people don't turn to Him. If you turn to Him, to wait upon Him, spend time in Him, He will come. Amen. But once He instructs us, then we have to follow His instructions. And since the Grace Revolution, this scripture becomes more pertinent. That means you really become very aware when you come before God, it's His throne of grace. That means there's no condition. Right? Unconditionally, you can just come before Him. He will never turn you away. And first thing you receive is you obtain mercy. The mercy from the throne of God. then you will find grace to help. In other words, if you need help, there's no way He will turn you away. Sometimes you just need help to pray. You say, Lord, thank you for the grace to pray. Amen. So that's walking in the Spirit by trusting, fully trusting, by faith trusting and believing the Father's unfailing love will not fail to help you. Amen. His grace is unconditional. It's unearned. You don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn His grace. It's just there for you to take. And the only way for you to receive His grace unconditionally is by faith. There's no other way. Amen. So thirdly, to build up your spirit or grow spiritually, you have to know the ways of the Holy Spirit. Right? We have to know the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So knowing the ways of the Holy Spirit is to learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and then recognize the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you follow His leading, you know His ways. You learn His ways. Amen. That's one way to learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. And there are three ways that we learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. Learning the ways. Now, the ways of the Holy Spirit is not the method He leads us. There are only three methods He leads us, but the ways are dynamic, infinite. Amen. You never exhaust His ways of leading you. So learning the ways of the Holy Spirit, one way is through the Old Testament example. Learn from the men of God in the Old Testament. They have known the way of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit led them. God led them and they followed, they obeyed, and there are different ways the Holy Spirit lead them. Amen. Secondly, it's through personal experience. You gain insight from your own spiritual journey. When you learn to obey Him, you learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, from other people's testimonies. You learn how to follow. We learn a lot of the ways of the Holy Spirit through Brother Hagin's testimony, Brother Hagin's example, how he followed the Holy Spirit. Amen. And without these three essentials, the church will only grow up to a certain level, right? First level, second level, will then never reach the higher level. So actually, a church that teach how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and know the ways of the Holy Spirit is very important, very crucial. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Now, when someone has a need of these, there's no need to wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We talk about know the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For example, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, and free from oppression. This you don't need to wait for the leading. You just pray and receive it, or somebody else pray for you. Success in life comes through following the leading of the Holy Spirit. One, we pray to seek guidance through prayer. Second, we follow. We heed the Holy Spirit's leading. Thirdly, we act or do what He instructs. Then we will succeed and experience good success in life. You want a success in life, be it in natural life, spiritual life. These are three factors. Amen. If not, then you can always do it with your own effort, your own abilities, right? If you are Elon Musk, you can achieve a lot. Whether he's safe or not, I don't know. Even Bill Gates says he's a very brilliant man. So the ways of the Holy Spirit always lead to success and prosperity. Success comes from praying, following the Holy Spirit's leading, and doing what He instructs us. So ask the Heavenly Father for wisdom, and along the way, do not deviate from the plan of God. Definitely, you'll have good success in life. What I'm trying to say, there are things in life you don't have to wait for God's timing. But there are things in life, there are matters in life you have to wait for God's timing. Now, just go through this one. For example, you're graduating from university or poly. You don't have to wait for God's timing to go and find a job. Go look for a job. Amen? But you have a job, you want to change job, then you better wait, seek the Lord, whether is it time to change or not the time to change. Amen? Now, if God show you that this is the person to marry, you don't have to wait for the Lord's timing. Then look in the natural, right? Begin to plan, and then the natural will lead you. Purchasing property, same thing, you know, in Singapore context. You want to get married straight, we're going to go HDB, go and get one. Right? But you want to upgrade, then you had better seek God for timing, because once the moment you buy, it could be the downturn. Amen? Or if you don't buy, the price is going to shoot up. Amen? Education, you need to follow the Lord, follow His leading. Now, let's say, for example, you finish JC, finish poly, you want to go to university, you don't wait. Amen? But you need to follow His leading. What you're going to study, which university, you know, where you're going to apply, that you don't wait. But there are things, there are matters in life, amen, requires God's timing. For example, business venture. You know, I told you before, somebody went to start a cafe just before COVID hit. Spent so much money, oh man, did up, oh, renovated the cafe, next thing, the COVID hit. Job change, you better seek God for His timing. Pray for the right time to start or expand your business. Right, or change job. Secondly, property upgrade. My advice is you wait for the right market condition, you wait for God's timing. Right, and then the other thing is for full time ministry. If somebody sends you a call for full time ministry, this could be people online. then you don't rush into ministry. You wait for God's timing. Amen. I told you, 19-year-old, he had two kids, 14 years old. His mom put him into the ministry. He's so proud, man, 14 years I'm preaching the gospel. It's rubbish. Hasn't even grown up yet. You know where the problem is? 14 years going to ministry, by the time he's 29 years old, pride creeps him already. Amen. And that's one thing, right? 14 years old, need to go and play marbles, go to school. Amen. We know somebody, a baby Christian, want to do training, want to go into China to preach in the villages, so the guy need to grow up. Baby need to what? Drink milk. Amen. So, especially full-time ministry, even though you're mature enough, God call you, you have to wait for the timing to go into full-time ministry. Amen. And when you're in ministry, ministry changes, you better wait for God's timing, right? So there are things that you have to wait for God's timing, get the timing right. 2 weeks ago, you know, this is something the Lord highlighted to me, spoke to me, and it's through Brother Higgins' testimony. He said, in the early years of his ministry, when the Lord spoke, he rushed out and do something. And then he always get in a mess. But later years, we find that he's so cool, so calm. But you know, in the early years, he just rushed. One day the Lord spoke to him, it's better that you wait for me than you rush. Because you rush, you're ahead. You don't see me in front of you, Jesus told him. He said, at least you'll be late. At least you can see me in front of you. Right? Amen. Especially those in ministry that make this big mistake. So there are things that's where it came from. So there are things, not just in ministry, there are things in your life, you better get the timing right. You want to go into business, you better get the timing right, you better get the things right. What do you want to do? Don't just do because everybody goes in business. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if the Lord directs you in a certain business, pray till you get the timing right. Ask yourself if it is time to start this business or venture into another country or market, including changing of jobs, you know. You change the wrong job, you go in the wrong company, the moment you get employed, 3 months later, they retrench you. Upgrading property, get the timing right, full-time ministry, expand your ministry, job, right? You have to get the timing right. I mean, if you finish JC, finish poly, next thing you want to go to university, don't wait. Right now, when you finish university, go and find a job, don't need to wait. Oh, wait for God's timing. Amen. So there are many situations when you start planning and take the next step, you will sense whether the timing will be right or wrong. Let me say again, there are many situations when you start planning and take the next step, you will sense whether the timing will be right or wrong. Keep planning, listen to your spirit until you cannot go any further and stop. Sometimes the Lord just allow you to continue to plan. Come to a point you just know based on the natural situation, natural circumstances, you just stop. Amen. People with business sense will have this acumen. They may venture into another country, invest there. After 1 year, they know whether to continue or not to continue. The people who have no sense always continue and get in the debt. They don't have business sense. Amen. So, many times, you know, like for example, one of my students said, Pastor, why don't you come to do school? So we started planning, plan. In fact, I went to look at the venue. A church allowed us to use their classroom for free. We plan, came to the point, I said, nope, our business is the same, right? If you don't have enough sense when to stop, when to go on, you're not made to do business, right? Somehow or other, you just have that gut feel, amen? Somehow or other, our observation, somebody spoke to me this morning, accountants are bad businessmen. Not all, I want to say. Maybe there are. So today, I want to emphasize more matters requiring God's timing. So the danger of premature action, you receive direction, get guidance from the Lord, right? Calmly, you're excited. Avoid hyping up the revelation. Sometimes you receive something the Lord wants you to do, you get hyped up. Once you hype up, it's time for you to go and shut yourself in the toilet and calm down because you'll miss God. Amen. Even though you have heard from God, the moment you hype it up, you're going to miss God. What are you going to miss? You're probably going to miss the timing. Amen. So what you do is you wait patiently, allow time for the right moment, and act wisely. Move forward when timing is confirmed. How you confirm the time? Spend time. You wait upon the Lord. Amen. Let's study Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Among the prophets and the teachers of the church at Antioch, not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a mother church. It all began in Jerusalem, but these prophets and teachers were in the church in Jerusalem. They were not prophets running around without any church. Any prophet say they got no home church, ignore them. Amen. They are disobeying God without having a church. Brother Hagin has a church. Whose church was he in? His son's church. He sit there. So teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria, it was in the church. Barnabas and Saul, all five of them were there. Some were prophets. Saul was a prophet and teacher. Verse 2. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord, not seeking God, not praying for something, worshipping, but they have grace to fast. They were worshipping God and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Amen. And they were in ministry about 12 to 15 years. Right? They were in ministry about 12 to 15 years. They were prophets and teachers, or prophet or teachers. So Saul was a prophet and teacher. And they were in ministry for 12, 15 years when they were worshipping God and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So they were not burdened to pray or seeking God for direction. They were just worshipping the Lord. They were not running around without a home-based church. It was the church where they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. They were not praying for direction or need, just worshipping the Lord and had the grace to fast. It wasn't in Jerusalem that they fasted and worshipped the Lord and received a new direction from the Lord. It was in the home church. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and gave them a new ministry direction, a new assignment. Their destiny changed. It was a major change in their destiny to serve the Lord. Right? Major destiny change in the church. Church camps coming. They were worshipping and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul, not the other three, for the special work to which I have called them. When they called them, when they were in their mother's womb, God called them. They had a calling in their life when they were in their mother's womb. But by this time, I don't know how old was he. He was 12, 15 years. Then the Holy Spirit spoke concerning the special work, special calling. Now, they were prophets and teachers. From here on, they became apostles. And they went around planting churches because, you know, at that time, many places they went, there were no churches at all. The special work to which I've called them. Verse 3. So after more fasting, now this time, not worship, prayer. You see that? Right? Now, verse 2, the Holy Spirit spoke already. Set aside them for the special work that I've called them. Why don't they just go? Why pray some more? Just do it, lah. Right now. See that? They were worshipping and fasting. Now they were fasting and praying. But verse 2, the Holy Spirit already spoke. Why fast and pray? Right now. They only knew God has a special assignment, special work, special calling for their lives. But they don't know when's the time and where they're supposed to do their ministry. Amen. So after fasting and prayer, before that were worshipping and fasting. Now it's fasting and prayer. The men laid their hands on them and sent them on their, then sent them, not before, not in verse 2. So how long they fast and pray? Don't know. How long they worship and pray? Don't know. Amen. So I want you to see the high point here is they worship and fasted. They received, the scripture says the Holy Spirit spoke. Means it's the third method, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. They did not receive just an inner witness. They heard an authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit saying to them, set aside Barnabas and Saul for the special work that I've called them. Amen. So this is the third method. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit, a very authoritative voice. That's why it says the Holy Spirit said, after the Holy Spirit said, set them aside to be apostles, they fasted and prayed. Before, they fasted and worshipped. They worshipped and fasted. Now they fasted and prayed. Amen. So after receiving new direction and assignment from the Lord, they concluded to fast and pray. They continued to fast and pray before they fasted and worshipped. Now they switched to fasting and praying. They did not rush out to go on their missionary journey. That's the biggest mistake a lot of churches made. I made the same mistake too. Verse 4. Now, verse 3, they lay hands on them. The other three lay hands on them. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by who? Before that, they went worship and fasted. The Holy Spirit didn't send them off. The Holy Spirit only said, set them aside, Barnabas and Saul, to the special work that I've called them. After they fasted and prayed, they lay hands on them. Then the Holy Spirit sent them out. That means it's time to go out. Before they fasted and prayed, they only worshiped. It wasn't time to go out. See that? So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went, means it was time to go. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. They know where to go. They know when to go. They know what they are supposed to do. They know what's their calling, their new calling to be an apostle, right? Paul and Barnabas became the third type of apostle. Today, missionaries are the fourth kind of apostle. The first and second kind of a type of apostle, no more. First is Jesus. Second is the 12 apostles, the Lamb. The third apostle, the one who wrote the scriptures, the Bible. The fourth kind of apostles are here today. So after they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit sent them out so they knew the timing and where to go. They went to Cyprus and Pamphylia, that's in modern Turkey. But John Mark abandoned the trip. Actually, John Mark went with them. In Pamphylia, John Mark abandoned them. So the Holy Spirit probably didn't tell John Mark to go with them or bring John Mark along. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. So, you know, cousin he brought along, right? So Barnabas and Saul, while worshipping and fasting, received the apostles' ministry from the Lord. Then they continued to fast and pray until they got the timing right. And knowing where to embark on their missionary journey as an apostle, they got the timing right, they got the direction right. They did not rush and plan what and when to do next. They sought the Lord for the timing and directions. Amen? Praise God. So this does not only pertain to ministry, spiritual ministry, it pertains to natural life also. Amen? Praise the Lord. Changing job, going to business, expand your business, right? Change your property, buy new property, you buy the wrong time, you crash the next moment, you sign on the dotted line, or you missed it, you don't sign, the price shot up, amen? Right? So actually it boils down to concerning your life. And know the ways you need to follow His leading, then you learn the ways. Personally, through personal experience, you learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. I just give you one example. Jesus, after he got baptized in the river Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him, anointed him with the full power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Huh? Should let him go and get people healed, right now? Deliver some of them, you know, many of them from demons, isn't it now? Led him to a wilderness for 40 days. And after 40 days, haven't eaten, first voice he heard was Satan's voice. Okay? So don't go and fast 40 days. Tell those in China. All you know is after that, all you hear is the devil's voice. What about Abraham? God told him, just leave Mesopotamia. I'll tell you where to go. Didn't know where to go. Right now. So Barnabas and Paul were worshipping and fasting, received the apostle ministry from the Lord. Then they continued to fast and pray until they got the right direction and the timing. Amen. Verse 5. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogue and they preach the gospel. So what was the Lord's exact calling? They received the ministry gift of the apostle. When should they start doing? When the Holy Spirit sent them out. Where were they supposed to go? They went to Cyprus. What were they doing for the Lord? They preached God's word. So what, when, where, and why? He got all this right. Amen. How? So he sailed there. How he get there is on the sailboat. No high-speed rail. Amen. So I don't know this message for you or for some of them in China. I don't know. But praise the Lord. Amen. Many a times, you know, condition may seem right. That doesn't mean the timing is right. Everything seems right, you know. Wow, the investor, you know, invest the money. Wow, I got this connection. So what? God knows what's coming ahead. You don't. Amen. You don't seek His timing. You don't know His timing. You went ahead of Him. You just can get into a mess. Amen? Thank you, Father. So, summary of biblical example of Barnabas and Saul, ministry foundation. They had 12, 15 years in the Antioch church. They received divine direction. The Holy Spirit spoke during worship and fasting. They continued to seek the Lord, more fasting, but prayer this time for clarity. Then they were guided by the Holy Spirit on the guided journey because the Holy Spirit sent them out, right? To a specific location. Still make a mistake. He brought John Mark. If they didn't bring John Mark, what you read in the book of Acts will be Barnabas and Saul. After this trip, Barnabas and Saul had a big quarrel. So you think the apostle, they're all so patient and kind. the dispute was so severe, they just parted ways. They care less about God calling them to go together. He said, you go your way, I go my way. But God has somebody else to follow Saul. God prepared Silas and somebody else. And the two persons went to Antioch together with Barnabas and Saul, where they split ways. So they didn't even embark on the second missionary journey together. It was so severe, right? Why? Because probably Barnabas was the one who wanted to bring John Mark along. The devil is never the problem. The ways of the Holy Spirit, the first one we talk about is there are matters that require not God's timing. I stated earlier on, right? Amen? If you graduated, do you finish all your study? Don't wait, just find a job. Start looking for a job. Amen? You found a spouse, God will never give you a partner now and tell you wait 10 years to get married. Amen? Pastor, got no money, no nothing. And God knows. If he give you somebody, he knows you got no money. Right on. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So, one is there are matters that do not require God's timing. The second thing is the matters that require God's timing. That one wrong. It can mess you up big time. Amen? Brother Higgins experience, my experience, amen, big time. Big time. It mess you up big time. God is merciful. He'll help you come out of it. But you pay the price, right? You'll suffer for it. Very simple. Amen? Now, the third thing about the ways of the Holy Spirit is partial direction from the Lord. Abraham's journey left Mesopotamia without specific destination. Confirmation came upon arrival in the promised land. The Lord appeared to him and said, now this is the land. But if he didn't step out, he didn't leave Mesopotamia, will he ever find the promised land? No. When the Lord leads, you don't follow, you never find out what's the blessing that's waiting for you. Amen. Samuel, the Lord sent him to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. Didn't tell him which son. So what did he do? He had to go through 7 sons of Jesse. Wow, this one looks good, man. The first one. I mean, according to the culture, it's always the first one that takes over the king's position, right? Now. But not in God's culture. Amen. Your culture is not God's culture. Your culture may not be God's will. Amen. And worse, your culture may be against the word of God. Amen. So, he went to Jesse's home. He started to look at the first son. He said, oh, must surely this one. It wasn't. Then he finished looking at 7 sons of Jesse. None of them. Then he asked Jesse, any more? You got any more sons? He said, yeah, one up on the mountain looking after sheep. He said, he bring him down. You bring him down. He said, I'm not going to leave your house until I seen your younger son. Means what? God gave him an assignment. He finished it. Amen? But also partial direction. Totally go anoint one of his sons. God knew exactly which son. He won't tell you. This is the way of the Holy Spirit, way of the Lord. Amen? I want to know everything before I step out. Forget it. You'll never step out. Right? Partial direction. For example, the Lord told me to go and attend Rhema Bible Training College in the U.S. But he revealed the timing to me 7 years later. He didn't say. He didn't want to say it. When he told me, no, I told my boss, no, I don't want to work in the U.S. anymore. I want to come back. Came back. I told my boss, here, don't send me for any more training. You know, I'm going to Bible school. And 7 years I waited. I should have kept my mouth shut and then go for all kinds of training. Right? And for 7 years, he just silent. He didn't tell me when. Not that I didn't pray. I prayed first 2-3 years. Man, I was so looking forward to go to U.S., no Bible school, Rhema. When the last year, and I'm no more excited, no longer excited. Everything cool, man, chill, man. Let it be. Let everything be. When everything was fine, you know, I was happy. Hitting the department, things were fine. He said, now time to go. He said, you better start preparing. He spoke. 7 years later, he spoke up. For 7 years, I waited, especially the first 4 years, 5 years. Wow, man, so into waiting, man, waiting. Wow, waiting, man. Then later, I look back, man, I should go and get an MBA, you know. Right? Huh? He kept silent. After, I no longer, everything cool, chill, don't hype. Anything you hype, I guarantee you, you're going to miss it. You hype, you're going to miss it. Amen. And you may got it from the Lord. You got it from the Lord, what he wants you to do. While you're waiting for the timing, you hype, you're going to miss it. I hype about Rhema Bible Training Center coming to Singapore. That's where I missed it. Big time, man. Amen. So once you hype it, hype up, the next person say, hey, come on, cool it. You better listen. You find a wife, you're going to get married. You hype up. going to come. The rough day is coming. When your wife gives birth, man, just like Yi Ching, 1:54 a.m. sent us a message. I got to pray. So prayer. Thank you, Jesus. So he received partial instruction, Abraham. When the Lord told him to sacrifice Isaac, also partial. You go to Mount Moriah. I'll show you one of the mountains. Mount Moriah, how many mountains were there? I think there were three only. But God don't even bother to tell him which mountain to go up. He didn't tell him to go where was promised land. Don't tell him which mountain. Excuse me, he obeyed you already. He prepared him. The first time he obeyed him, left Mesopotamia. That prepared him for the last obedience. Sacrifice his son. And same thing. I mean, sacrificing his son is really a big issue. And God don't tell him which mountain. Excuse me. Stress, I'm really stressed. Wow, stress. I sacrifice my son. I'm stressed. You know, which mountain? Go wrong mountain. Then how? Well, go wrong mountain. His son will die. Because only that mountain, there was a ram waiting for Abraham to sacrifice in place of his son. Three mountains. So when you meet three girls or three guys, you better pray which one to take. Right? Don't take anyone that comes along. It looks good only. Means must be the one. I know some mothers like that. Wow, look at the guy. Look good. Look good only. Wow, wow, wow. So Mount Moriah, he said, go to Mount Moriah. Did not tell him specifically which mountain because there were three mountains in Mount Moriah. Abraham and Samuel had to act on the Lord's instruction and then they knew where and who. When he left, you don't know how long Abraham left Mesopotamia to walk to the promised land, that's Israel now, right? He went there, then the Lord appeared to him and said, now this is the place. Samuel, the Lord was silent. After seven sons, God was still silent. You know what you do? Ask the father, got any more sons? Well, one up in the mountain, bring him down. Then the Lord said, this is the one. You don't bring him down. Do you know what? God didn't tell him, hey, there's one more up in the mountain looking after sheep. So means what? That means Samuel had to be faithful to the Lord's instruction. Go to Jesse's home, anoint one of his sons. Seven really, not the one. What do? You finish the assignment. You finish the instruction. You finish obeying every of his instructions. Amen. Right? Yeah. Next point. Very important. You finish it. You obey partial instruction, it still mess you up. The next example will show you. So, did the Lord speak to Samuel? Hey, there's one son up in the mountain? No, he just kept quiet. That is one of the ways the Lord, he will not tell you. He spoke to you, you are not faithful in obeying, finish his instruction, he won't tell you. Samuel said, I'm not going to leave this house until I find one of your sons to anoint. He asked Jesse, any more or not? Yeah, one up in the mountain, you bring him down, else I'm not leaving your house. When he brought David looking after the sheep, brought him down to his home, God spoke. He said, now this is the one. What if Samuel said, Alama, seven son, not the one, bye-bye, leave. You know what? Samuel would have missed God. Many Christians are like that. They are not faithful to the end. Once they don't sense something, they pray, they don't sense anything, they're going to get result, they give up praying. I feel the same too. I pray, I say, oh, why like that? I say, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I pray by your grace. I receive your grace to pray. Because you ask me, I don't sense very spiritual. Many a time you pray, you don't sense the power of anointing. Whoa, the Holy Spirit, whoa. Of course, now who cannot pray when the Holy Spirit is so strong? Whoa, you all get hyped up, man. When you feel nothing, you sense nothing. I say, oh my God, 4 a.m. in the morning. What do? Lord, your throne of grace, I obtain mercy and receive grace to help. Help me what? Now I want to pray. So your grace, help me to pray. Show heaven. By grace, grace means unconditional. Unconditionally, he must help me to pray. Because when I pray in a known tongue, it's scriptural, it's in line with the word. Some people pray, don't get result, and give up praying already. Look back on those blessings, those years that God bless you. You receive through what? Not the prayers. A moment you give up, the blessing just coming down from the mountain, waiting, the blessing just right there to bless you. Yeah, well, when Samuel finishes, Simon, of course, he's blessed. Oh, man. He didn't finish. He go back. He cannot sleep. He may die early. Well, you know, most of you are not baby Christians. You better grow up in this area. If there's an assignment, you finish it. If God puts you in this church, it's not just for you to bless you and your family and your three and no more. Four of you, just no more. He put you here in this church, there is a purpose. Not my purpose, his. You don't know what's the purpose you're in this church, you better ask God, right? Specific direction from the Lord. You obey partially, it can mess you up. Clear instruction. A man receives specific commands from the Lord, temptation to disobey. An old prophet lied to him. This young man of God was actually a prophet also. Contradicting the original instructions. Consequences of disobedience, the man of God faced. There are consequences for not following specific instructions. He actually obeyed half the instructions. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. Behold, a man of God. Man of God in those days, you know, referring to prophets. This is a young prophet. Went from Judah to Bethel. Bethel, you know, is supposed to be a very spiritual place. Bethel. That was the first place Abraham went there and built a tent. God spoke to him between Bethel and Ai, you know, his ancestral land. By the word of the Lord. By this time, the king and the old prophet there were backslidden. They were worshipping idols. And Jeroboam, king, stood by the altar to burn incense. Verse 7, 1 Kings chapter 13. All right, then the king said to the man of God, come home with me. And for that is a story. The king actually persecuted him. He got the king healed. Then the king said, come home with me and refresh yourself and I'll give you a reward. A king invite you. A President Trump invite you to the White House. You just go, lah. I'll go to the Red House. Xi Jinping's house. I'll give you a reward. My king's reward cannot be cheap, correct? Lah, huh? Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 8. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I will not go in with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. You know, in the place of the king's house, all champagne, all kind of water, mineral water, you can never find one. He refused to go in. Why? For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. Two instructions. Don't come back. Don't go back the way you came. Don't stay in Bethel. You finish your assignment, get out. Two instructions. Don't go back the same way. Don't stay in Bethel to eat or drink. Don't delay. Get out. Amen. Then 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 10. So he went. First time the king invited him. He didn't stay. So he went. He went another way. Didn't go back the same way. And not return by the way he came. So he obeyed the two instructions. But fine. A lot of Christians like that. Whoa, man. We obey God, man. 10, 20 years down the road, see whether they still obey God or not. The Lord's instruction was very specific. Right? 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 11. As it happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel. Now God said, don't eat, don't drink in Bethel. But now the king invited him. Whoa, man. King, no heal him. Right, but now the old prophet, somebody come and prophesy over you, and you disobey God's instruction to you. You got to be careful. Amen. Right, that's why follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Very important. Care less who prophesy over you. Don't care who is the prophet who speaks to you. Amen. You don't have an inner witness. You don't bear witness. You seek God. That's not what the Lord wants you to do. Ignore whoever that prophet is. Don't just think his big name. That's a problem with a lot of Christians. Yeah, because of some preachers, his name is so resounding. What big name, big name, big name. Everything means what he says is right. No. Amen. The only voice that is right is the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. Amen. Verse 15. Now, the old prophet persuaded him, said to the man of God, come home with me and eat some food in Bethel. Verse 16. No, I cannot, he repeated. He replied, I am not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place. Verse 17. For the Lord, now the old prophet lied to him. The old prophet said, for the Lord gave me this command. Who cares what the prophet says? It contradicts what the Lord spoke to him. God spoke to you. The Heavenly Father spoke to you personally. You know, that's more important than anything else because your Heavenly Father is your Heavenly Father. You are His child. He spoke to you. Don't let somebody else come and tell you otherwise. That's the problem now, right? God gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there. This is a young prophet was saying. But the Lord gave me this command. He's still the young prophet. The young prophet is saying, he repeated what the Lord said. He said, you must not eat or drink anything while you are there and do not return to Judah by the same way you came. Amen. So don't go back the same way. Don't stay in Bethel and eat and drink. But the old prophet lied to him. The old prophet said, I am a prophet. So what? God spoke to you personally. You always must remember because you have a personal relationship with God. When you fast and pray, you worship and fasted, and the Lord spoke to you, don't allow anything to change what you receive from the Lord. I'm a prophet too, just as you are. Whoa. Some big pastor come and tell you, say, this pastor must be right. No. You have a higher relationship than any prophet or apostle. You are a son of God. Your relationship with him is higher than all the fivefold ministry. I say, that means your relationship is higher than mine. I also have a relationship with God. I'm a son of God. Amen. Then when I serve him, I'm a pastor. Right? He said, I'm a prophet too, just as you are. An angel gave me this commandment from the Lord, he lied. He said, the angel gave. Bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink. But the old prophet was lying to him. How do you know? You always go back to what you heard from the Lord. That's why personal, we seek the Lord, it's very important yourself. You must hear from the Lord. That's the most important. Amen. Brother Higgin always said, don't accept what he says. If you don't bear witness, he was a prophet. He said, don't accept. It's the same thing. Don't accept what I say if you don't bear witness. I would say, you know, I just tell you, you make a decision, you mess up, you don't go blame me. Amen. Right? So I qualify that. I dare to tell you, right now, you make your own decision. You hear what I say, you make a decision, you messed up. That's your fault because you don't listen to what I say. Amen. Now, you should listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the old man of God, relied to this young prophet. Amen. Even said the angel gave him this command. Very simple. It contradicts what you heard from the Lord. What should you do? It will throw you off, you know, because it's demonic. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual force. A lie is a lie of demons and evil spirits. It's a spiritual force. It can throw you off. What should you do? Go away from this old prophet. Go back and worship and fast. Go back and fast and pray. Amen. Go back to the throne of grace. Say, Lord, this is what I heard from you the last time, right? I'm holding on to what you are saying. If I'm wrong, please help me now. Amen. Don't talk to that old prophet who lied to you or whoever that is. You go back to God, the throne of grace, and receive his grace to help you. He will help you to tell you, he will assure you, no, what I've spoken to you is correct. Forget about those who cares who are the prophets. Amen. Careless, they are the big name pastor or preachers and whoever that is. Big name television preachers. Amen. So now you understand why learning to listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, know the ways of the Holy Spirit is very important for yourself and whoever is around you. So the thing was, the man of God, young prophet, heard from the Lord not to eat and drink in Bethel. He shouldn't have allowed an old prophet to use an angel's message to lie to him. How do you know it was a lie? It contradicts what he heard clearly from the Lord. That's where you need to build confidence. When you heard from God the Father, go before his throne of grace. When it is grace, that means he will ensure that you will not make a mistake. The problem is you listen to others or you go with your own smartness. I know you're very smart, but you cannot be smarter than the Holy Spirit. Amen? Very simple. Very simple. He can see what you cannot see. Very simple. I'm very smart, so you still cannot see what's tomorrow, right now. But he can, amen. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 19. So they went back together, and the man of God ate and drank at the prophet's home. Two instructions. He disobeyed the second one. He went back, right? So have confidence that you heard from the Lord. Develop the confidence in yourself. The way to have confidence is to worship and fast, to wait upon the Lord for clear direction and timing. So he disobeyed but went back with the old prophet. The man of God obeyed by not going back. He didn't go back the way he came, but he went back to Bethel. But still, he was killed by the lion when he left the old prophet's home. Now, he didn't go back to Judah from the way he came, but he stayed in Bethel. He stayed and eat and drink. But when he left, he still obeyed the first instruction not to go back. But when he left, his timing was wrong. He stayed back in Bethel, he met the lion. If he had left Bethel, he would have missed the lion. Amen. Simple. God said buy, you don't buy, you miss the market. God said sell, you don't sell, you miss the market. God said take the job, you don't take, you miss the opportunity. Right on. All he did was stay back and eat and drink at least half an hour. Right. But you know, old ancient days, they eat and drink longer than that. You go to China, it's the same. And you see another thing. God did not tell the young prophet, you stay back in Bethel, eat and drink, you're going to meet the lion. He doesn't tell him, right? Why? That's his way. Amen. What if he gone back the way he came? He's going to meet something else. Maybe a bear. Why didn't God tell him very specifically, you better don't go back to Bethel, huh? Stay there and eat and drink. Because the king is going to invite you, give you a big reward. Because you stay back, you're going to meet the lion. Right? God didn't tell him. Why? Never mind, when we get to heaven, let's ask God. Then what did you tell him? You tell him that he won't die. Correct? He already obeyed you, go to Bethel already. Right? He went to chastise the king, you know. He was so bold, he went to chastise the king. He delivered the word of the Lord to the king. That was very bold. The king wanted to persecute him. The king actually wanted to arrest him. He was so bold, and yet God did not warn him about the lion that will kill him. Amen. Why? There are a lot of things about God I don't know. Amen. I only learn his ways and try to follow. Amen. Yeah. This is not in my notes. Why didn't God tell him? There's going to be a lion waiting for you there. I mean, the Lord tells you there's a lion, you deserve it, you still stay there in battle, correct or not? But now, you know, God didn't tell him there was a lion waiting for him to kill him. Then whose fault now? The young prophet's fault or God's fault? You can say, Pastor, both fault. God's fault, also the young. Okay, now you say both. But God's fault and the young prophet's fault. Yeah, I won't say anything to you. I won't challenge you. I will get to heaven now. Ask God. I say, why don't you tell him there's a lion waiting for him? What I'm trying to say is understand the ways of the Lord. He gave you instruction, you better follow. Understand? Because he won't tell you what you're going to meet down there, down the road. Amen? Why? I don't know. If he tells us everything, then life is easy. Right? I don't know why he didn't tell. He won't tell. I mean, this guy served you. He went to Bethel to tell the king, you know, gave the instruction to the king, what you told him to give to the king. You know, why did he tell him there's a lion? You know, save him so that he can be, he's a young prophet. He was a young prophet and become an old prophet. He served you, you know, to his old days. Why did he tell him there was a lion waiting for him to kill him? So, when the Lord gives us specific instructions, it's dangerous not to follow them. So we had to do with timing. Today's message is all about timing. Amen. All he did was stay back. He met the lion. If he had left Bethel without staying back, he would have missed the lion. Timing. So importance of following specific instructions. Receive clear guidance. Obtain specific instruction from the Lord. Amen. Trust the original message. If you are not clear, get it clear. How? Worship and fast. Then fast and pray. Get it clear, write it down, stick it on the wall, stick it on the mirror so that you stand in every morning, unless you don't look at the mirror when you brush your teeth. Have confidence in what you have heard from God. That's what we are doing in this church, is develop in you the confidence of following His leading, hearing from the Lord. Amen. Then resist every contradiction. Be wary of messages that contradict God's original instruction. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I stopped the school for 10 years, not because I didn't want to obey. One, no more students. At that time, we fund the students. We pay everything. Church ran out of cash. Very simple. I stopped. Amen. And I knew, in these 10 years, I said, it cannot be that I won't do again. Cannot be. Assignment given. I said, I never, ever entertained the thought I will never do the school. On and off, once in a while I thought about it, I said, well, looks like one day I'm going to do the school again. I told you last year, November, I prayed concerning whether to continue. I didn't say I don't want to go anymore. I'm still going, but the format changed, assignment has changed. The purpose has changed. Amen. So, what was I saying? There are thoughts that contradict his original assignments. What do? You wait. So then what do? You fully obey, follow all aspects of God's guidance for safety and success. Amen. Sure one, guarantee you will follow, sure successful. Once you're successful, you prosper. Amen. You will make money. So develop confidence in God's leading. What did Barnabas and Paul do? Worship and fast. Dedicate time to seek God's presence in His presence. Listen attentively. Be open to receive clear direction from the Lord. Confirm the message. He says, set aside Barnabas and Paul for the special work that I've called them. Did he say, oh, whoa, man, let's go? No. They were worshiping and fasting. When the Holy Spirit spoke, they went into fasting and praying. How long? Nobody knows. You will know. It could be 3 days. You know, they've been fasted 3 days. But I think experience was 3 days. My experience, always in 3 days, I'll get direction. Get it clear. 3 days. Amen. 3 days, 3 days. And many times, Brother Higgins experienced pray out 2 years ahead. We experienced praying out 2 years ahead for people in the church also. listen attentively, confirm the message, ensure consistency, see with God's character and word, then act with assurance, move forward confidently in God's timing. Amen. The danger of altering God's instruction. When you receive specific guidance, God provides clear instruction, and you face temptation to alter it, external influences may suggest changes. Choose to obey fully. Stick to the original instructions, and you will experience protection. Avoid potential harm through disobedience. Amen. So in conclusion, learn and know the ways of the Holy Spirit. One, from the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament experiences. Two, your own personal experiences. Three, from testimony stories of others in this church. So, know the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Seek God's plan and will. Do not deviate from God's plan and will. Seek God's timing. Wait for the right moment to act on God's instruction. Now, for example, healing, don't wait, you know. You can say, no. There are things I said that there are matters already. The finished work of Christ, you just receive it by faith. You don't wait. You'll die waiting. Amen. Told you two ladies had cancer in the age of early 40s with two young kids. All waiting for Jesus to come and heal him because he saw a vision. You know, in the vision, somebody in white spoke to her, these two ladies saying, hey, I will come to heal you. I knew they would die because it's against scripture. Because scripture said, by his wounds you were healed. On the cross, he healed you already. Any vision that say, I'll come and heal you, forget it. Amen. See, God's timing, follow closely, adhere to specific divine guidance for success and protection. Amen. Timing, get it right. Get the timing right. I don't know who is this message for. Maybe it's just for those who are online, the people from China. But anyway, I'm happy delivering the right message. Thank you, Father. Give you praise. Let's stand. Sora mentioned in the Bratanahe Tokchano Namo Sule Isukalamangaya.